Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Down with the king topic of the day, and really, BT, it's been a couple of different things, but we started the show talking about what seems to be a lack of trust from the Mets fans as it pertains to Steve Cohen and David Stearns, and maybe more in particular David Stearns, but I think it's really both. As a fan, you have to look at what both have done. Steve Cohen, since he's taken over as owner, and David Stearns, since he's taken over as president of baseball operations, where in his first year they had success even when most people doubted the roster going in. So you have to give him the benefit of the doubt for a certain extent. And with Steve Cohen, he's proven to go big and big, like all, whether it's, you know, Scherzer or Verlander or Correa, who didn't work out, or going after Yamamoto, or now landing Juan Soto. There's no way that this is it for the Mets. It might be in the short term, as they'll go get a big reliever or two, or maybe add something else, whatever it may be, and take their chances in season, and then make moves in season to better the team, because that's what they've been proven to do. But I would be surprised if this doesn't end up in Vladimir Guerrero Jr., but that's thinking like home run. But that's probably what the Mets are thinking, and there should be a trust, BT, that that's going to be the case.
They're thinking bigger. Listen, there's a reason why, and he's going to be at the Garden tonight, and actually I hope that he gets the right ovation. I imagine he will. That's Julius Randle. You know, in a lot of ways, Pete Alonso's like Julius Randle. Now, we love Randle because Randle was here when the Knicks weren't relevant, and he helped change the culture along with Tom Thibodeau very early. And we loved him for it. And he was a dog. He was tough. Yeah, he had a couple of moments, you know, the thumbs up, whatever he did to the fans, and a few little flare-ups. But Julius Randle was a really good Nick. And, you know, he was never one of the three, four, five, six best players in the NBA, but he had a couple of, like, all-NBA years. Just like Pete's never been one of the best players in baseball, but he's had a couple of years, 46 and 127, whatever it was.
Right.
Pretty much all-time stuff. But I think we all knew deep down, even those who weren't willing to admit it right away, that to take the next step, you're going to have to move on from Randle and have the best player on the team be better than Randle. And the Knicks are going for it. And I think the Knicks' trajectory is higher, certainly the way it is now, than it was with Randle. Now, baseball's different because it's not like, you know, one guy's taking 20 shots and there's no salary cap and blah, blah, blah. So it's not apples to apples, but the point is, the Mets are trying to move away from their version of Randle and find their cat and find their Brunson to now play with Juan Soto.
Yeah, and
nothing wrong with that.
And I understand fans are going to be upset losing Pete, the sentimental part of it, but you have to think about this regime. Do you really think they're not going to make this team better or try to make this team even better? So if you could get... And by the way, they did try to bring Pete back. Like, it wasn't like they don't want him. I'm not of the belief that the Mets offered Pete something that they knew he wasn't going to take.
That's where we disagree.
Well, because they didn't have to offer him something, just like the Yankees did with Gleyber Torres. Like, the Yankees could have said, oh yeah, we'll give Gleyber 1 year, $8 million. And we said, well, you really didn't want him, but what if he took it?
Then Gleyber didn't mean as much to the Yankee fans as Pete did. The Mets had a responsibility to at least present. Hey, we tried.
But they did the same thing with DeGrom years ago, and I really do believe they would have taken DeGrom back at what they thought was fair market value or a good price for them. He ended up getting more elsewhere, and he left. Same thing with Pete. His market, hey, Pete turned down. He misread the situation, bet on himself, and failed. Turned down, at the time 2 years ago, what was fair market value for him, right along Olsen as far as AAV goes, the 7 years, almost $160 million, whatever it was exactly.
Yeah.
And then he bet on himself, failed. 2 years later, the Mets again All right, you want to say you turned down the qualifying offer? Sure, but the qualifying offer is what it is, $20 million a year. They turned that down, and then again, the Mets made him what I think is a fair market value based on the comps. The comp is now Christian Walker. The Mets offered him a little bit more than that, and he turned it down. So it's not that the Mets didn't want the player. It's that they don't want to extend or overpay for what they believe the true value to be of Pete Alonso.
This, to me, you know, and there's a couple names I'm going to hit you with here. So, what is Eli,
yeah.
Derek, Mattingly, Ewing, Lundqvist. There's a few more. David Wright. Mm-hmm. But you guys get the point, right? Seaver, who was dealt, didn't leave on his own. And then a few others, right? Most of our of our icons in the city either retire, like they get hurt, like Donnie was just hurt. Ewing was dealt for a year or two, and he was at the end. But most of them kind of finish out here. For the most, this is so unique in the sense that, you know, we could debate the merits of how great or how good Pete is, and we've done that for years at this point. But he's still in his prime. He plays every day. He produces. And again, we could debate that as well, but he produces. He's a low maintenance. Yeah, he's quirky, but he's low maintenance. He's a good guy. He's a fan favorite, and he's homegrown.
So what? He's not a star.
No, I understand that. The reason why I lay all that out is to at least acknowledge the complexity of this seeming, this apparent divorce.
See, I think
it's tricky for some fans, Sal.
Understood, but I think you touched on something key there. Pete Alonso is a typical homegrown, overrated Met by their own fan base. I'm not trying to minimize what he was. I love the power from Pete. His rookie year, great year, all-time great season. Big home run, obviously, against Milwaukee. Like, historic, you'll never forget that.
Yeah.
However, fans tend to overvalue their own or overrate their own.
Give me names.
Well, I mean, Daniel Murphy was one for a very long time.
Okay, Pete Alonso, I love Murphy, yeah. If not even close.
Well, right, I'm just giving you just one example.
No, but I got to make sure that these, because the names you're going to give me are not equal to Pete the player. They're just not.
I mean, Jeff McNeil is another one.
It doesn't have to be. I'm not saying that they don't overrate him, but Jeff McNeil's not Pete Alonso or the Mets' hearts. Mets fans' hearts.
Pete Alonso was, quote-unquote, the Mets' star. And he's not good enough. He's not a star. So just because he's your best player doesn't mean that he's the best player for your franchise. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is on a whole nother level of caliber of ball player. That's a legitimate star. So if you could get him, that like the way I used to do it with Todd Hundley. I overvalued Todd Hundley, saying he's the best catcher in baseball. Then the Mets actually got the best catcher in baseball, Mike Piazza.
Yeah. Pete was better than Todd. And I like Todd Hundley. He had some power. Pete was better.
Hundley broke a home run record for catchers.
I get that. Pete's up there with Ralph Kiner, DiMaggio, Ted Williams, and I think maybe Jimmy Fox. There's 10 players. I gave you the stat the other day. Right. I didn't mean to jump on it, but this is important. 10 players in baseball history who in 5 of their first 6 seasons have had 30 home runs or more. 10! And I just gave you Kiner, DiMaggio, Ted Williams, and a couple of other old-timers. And Miggy or Pujols is one. These are names that are... Now, Alonso's not any of those players, but that is incredible company. He ain't Danny Murphy. He's not Todd Hundley. Come on. He's not Lee Mazzilli.
No.
And I love Lee. But he's better than every one of those guys.
Right, but he's not their best option right now.
He's not.
And also, if he were that good, then why wouldn't other teams go after him? Jose Reyes left and got a big deal from the Florida Marlins.
Different game. And I'm not even a Pete believer.
Right,
I think more than anybody, I've been a detractor. I'm just trying to make sure he doesn't get disrespected on the way out.
It's not about disrespect. It's about reality. His reality is different than what the reality is of the situation. The market dictates that Pete is not worth what he thinks he is. He miscalculated many times over, and then he had a chance to perform. He failed multiple times in the last 2 years, so I don't understand the overvaluing or overrating Pete Alonso as if he cannot be replaced.
It's the heart.
Jacob DeGrom.
That's the heart.
Jacob DeGrom was better than Alonso, and he was replaced, and the Mets got better without DeGrom and Scherzer and Verlander.
It's just the heart, Sal. Yeah. It's a hard thing to separate from. I mean, think about it. There are 16-year-old, 17-year-old kids right now. Boys and girls have been going to Queens since Pete burst on the scene, whatever, 6 years ago, they were 9, 10, 11, 12 with their moms. I'm like, that means something.
Right, but just because it's all
I'm not saying you resign them because of that. Well, I'm just saying it's a tough split.
Also, just because that's all that they knew doesn't mean that it can't be a whole new world.
Yeah, I agree with that. Vlad's better. Yeah, well, no question.
Okay, so if you get him, you do it. Oh, well, no, he's homegrown. That's a foolish thing to me. I just think, and I also do think the Mets did value that and did want him back at what they believe is market value. Let's see what he gets. Let's see. The proof will be in the pudding. Whatever Pete gets, I would bet that he's going to sign for a deal that's less than the 3 years, $70 million that the Mets offer.
I think you're probably right. Maybe a few bucks more in the neighborhood, but it probably lower, or maybe just a one-year deal that's got a high AAV and whatever, going next year, whatever. But what do you think, and we'll get back to these calls, what do you think Scott Boras is saying right now to Pete? Like, what is the message from Scott Boras? What do you say to the
trust
guy?
Trust me. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Don't, worry from that, right?
Don't worry. He's probably going over the best options. Hey, maybe we could get 1 year at $30 million, or we could get 2 years at $25 million a year with an opt-out. I don't know, but probably the same thing he told... the third baseman, Matt Chapman, or the same thing he told Cody Bellinger.
Like, but even Chapman got a couple of years with opt-outs on his side, right? Well, he got a couple of years.
This is
crazy.
This is not a Mets anti-Pete thing. This is a market thing. And the market is saying that Pete Alonso, sadly for him, doesn't have great value, at least at the moment. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Greg is in Huntington. What's up, Greg?
Hey, Sal. How are you?
Good.
Listen, I got to figure out what day of the week it is because everyone comes with a different narrative. One week is, you know, King Cohen, I got all the money in the world. I'm going to go out and get Soto. And look, we'll spend whatever it takes. And then next week, Stearns is the head of the ship. We have to watch our purse strings. We got to make sure that we're not going to overspend. We got to run this. We have to make the team better. And I understand we have to make the team better. But I told Hoff when I talked to him a second ago, I loved him squirming on the radio. I loved him, you know, really cajoling and going nuts about how come he's not back on the team. Because he sounded like one of the Yankee Soto fans. And I'm a Yankee fan. He sounded like one of the Yankee Soto fans from a couple of weeks ago when you took him away from us. And I'm not here to talk about any of that. Alonso grew up, was a great player, and he started fade out, going.
Well, he was a good player. Hold on. He was a good player, because if he was great,
For his team, he was a great player for his team, which wasn't that good.
Okay?
Right. Now, he's a good player on this team you're going to make great. Don't get me wrong. I think that, yes.
I still don't know what your point is.
My point is this, all right? At 3 years of 20-whatever million, all right? I think that's fair. 3 years of $30 million is kind of fair. I think that if you really want to make a family, you can't forget your past, and you have to remember a little bit about what you were. Alonso is that. That's all I
got
to say.
Yeah, gotcha. He should have kept them.
Thanks for the call, Greg.
Thanks.
I think that's foolish. Come on. What, because Pete had some good seasons with the Mets? You got to keep him and overpay for him? You left out in the long, drawn-out call there. You never once brought up Vladimir Guerrero Jr. What if there's a bigger plan at play here? And that's what I mean by trusting the owners. Now, we'll see what happens. Hey, there is a scenario where Pete signs elsewhere and the Blue Jays extend Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Then what? Then Stearns better figure it out because their lineup right now doesn't appear to be good enough going in. I will warn you, we also said the same thing last year and they got to the NLCS. So the results will show as well. But there still is a chance the Mets can go bigger and land Vlad. And then what? Are you going to be crying about Pete? Or saying that Pete's a great player and they should have honored their past? Their past what? It's about the future.
Yeah, not if Vladdy's hitting .313 and his OPS is .960 and D and Soto are, you know, basically a two-man wrecking crew. You know, the only, not even pushback, because you guys know where I stand. Pete's a flawed player, and I think you have to trust Stearns, and I believe in Cohen. All right? But the fact that it's not a salary cap sport, don't you think you're a little more able to feed into the emotion? Like, in football, you've got to be cutthroat. There's just, you can either do it or you can't. We can either squeeze you in on the number or you can't. Now, I know that there's the Stevie Cohen tax. There's different things that you might not want to go through to pay more money and get taxed heavily, more heavily, but there's a little more room for sentimentality in a sport without a cap. And for the, by far, wealthiest owner in baseball, why not tap into that?
I think that they did. I think the fact that they actually offered him a three-year deal is showing that they were saying, hey, we do want this guy back. Because I mean, there could be a part where Stern says, I just don't want him, period. I mean, the player is trending down. That's not opinion.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's fact. He's trending down and he's getting older. He's coming off of 2 down years. Even in a year where he hit 46 homers and 118 ribbies, he hit .217. That's not good enough by any stretch. There are better options. So why would you commit 20 plus million and probably 25 plus million, because that's what Boris and Alonso want, why would you commit that for even 3 seasons when you could get somebody better? Like, what do you think Vlad's going to get per year?
Well, I think Vlad, first of all, he's a lot younger. I would think Vladdy's contract is maybe 8 years, something like that. You're right. Not going to be 12 or 30. Right, well, maybe even more, maybe 9, who knows?
But roughly how much AAV?
450 total. So 30 times 7 is 210.
32, 35?
More than 30. I think than 32. Okay. Probably about 35 high 30s.
So wouldn't you rather than spend the extra 10 or 8 million, whatever it turns out
100%.
To be?
100%. You just got to get him.
It's a no-brainer. Well,
you just got to get him.
Or if not him, then somebody else.
Well, but that's a different conversation. Who is the somebody else?
Well, I mean, maybe Kyle Tucker in the offseason. I don't know. Or go figure it out. That's going to be on them. They're the ones building the ball club. I'm just saying right now, there are reports that say the Mets tried to, or at least inquired. I don't want to say tried the trade.
What, engage Toronto?
Yeah. The report was that they checked in on Toronto. And yeah. I believe that there's more to that report than just like, oh, they called and...
So do I. I do, too.
I think they're trying to get
actively
Vladimir Guerrero
now.
Jr. And,
you mean
and,
right now?
Yes. And also, I don't know about, like, literally
well,
today.
Well, I mean,
but,
like, in a, it's already happened. Like, they're already engaged and they're already trying. I agree with you.
Yes, and even more so ready to pounce in the event that the extension is not signed by spring training.
I agree with that as well. Now, the only thing is, and this is why the temperature today might not be the temperature, say, late May, if certain things don't happen or other things do. You got Soto. Let's say Pete goes to Toronto. Let's see Toronto land Sasaki, and it seems like they got a chance. If you missed it, I said before, they're making a move for more international pool money, which you know why they're doing that. And let's say if that happens, maybe Vlad's a little more inclined to stay. I'm piecing a lot together, you know, obviously. And let's say Vlad stays there, and he gets his eight-year deal, so he's not coming here. You're not going to get Tucker for a couple of months at the minimum, unless the Cubbies fall out of it. And we're in May, and there's no Pete, there's no Tucker, there's just Soto and Lindor and Vientos, but the Mets aren't winning. Well, Mets fans are going to be irate at that point, especially if Pete's having a good year.
But those are a lot of...
I understand that.
Don't get this guy, don't get that guy.
Well, you're not getting Kyle Tucker anytime soon.
Well, whatever. I'm just saying, like, no other options, and they're losing. If they're losing, even if they had Guerrero, fans are going to go nuts. So it doesn't matter. Pete or Guerrero, if they're losing, that's going to be the main story.
Yes, right? But if they're losing with Soto and Pete, the energy is going to be different. Than if it's just Soto with nobody behind him and Vientos goes through a little slump or something.
All right, we'll get to the football when we come back. We'll have Nick Costos joining us for this Football Friday ahead of divisional round. Can't wait for that. We'll do so on the other side.
I'm on a new level. I'm on a new level.
BT, it's out back on the Fan. And right now, oh, man, this print is so small here, Hoff. Right now on the line is Nick Costos. Look at how small that is, dude. I'm blind as
that is. Let me see. That's small.
I'm having eye surgery in 2 weeks.
But yet it says Nick's name is...
That's Boyle. That's on Boyle. Okay, yeah.
Well, Nick's name is huge, but what you actually have to read is minuscule.
And it's the one thing I know is Nick's name, of course. On the line, our friend Nick Costos, host of You Better, You Bet, and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Better, You Bet weekdays, 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern on the BetQL Network, and you can watch from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern time on NBC Sports Fast Channel on Peacock. Nick, how are you ahead of this divisional round weekend? You pumped up for these games?
Oh, it's the best sports weekend of the year. You got Boyle, by the way, giving you the small print. And I have Pete Hoffman nervously texting me 8 minutes before I come on. Can you please come on and check your microphone? I log in and Boyle's like, yeah, you got 5 minutes. Great. Thanks, Pete. Literally never missed a spot ever. Nervous Nelly over there. But yes, extremely excited for the games this weekend. And it should be awesome.
And I'm going to text you this read so you see that we weren't making it up.
Oh,
and,
I'm sure.
And I'm
reads, and it sucks, dude. Like, yeah. It's a terrible... It's a terrible read.
No.
Long.
The read's great. We want to put my...
It's too long.
All right, anyway. let's just go in order here. We don't need to do the New York teams. We know where we stand with those teams, and we have for a while.
Well, you sent this to me. Like, this is a perfectly reasonable, like, print size here. You might be blind.
I am blind.
Okay. Well, there you go.
BT and I both did. All right. Anyway, Texans, Chiefs, Saturday getting us started on, I agree with you, one of the great weekends, if not the best weekend in all sports. What do you got for Texans, Chiefs?
Yeah, so I like some props in this game, and I like teasing Kansas City as well. Now, there isn't a teaser leg at the moment, Sal, to pair Kansas City with, at least at BetMGM. This is why, like I always tell people, you know, check out my show during the week. We're on all the time, where you could have teased Kansas City with Detroit when Detroit was in range, or with Baltimore when Baltimore was a 1.5-point underdog earlier this week. Now the Ravens are favored on the road in Buffalo. So if another leg emerges, like Lions go down to 8.5, I would like to tease Kansas City. I feel very strongly that the Chiefs will win. I don't love laying this huge number with Kansas City, just given the fact that the Chiefs have not been a team that have like won a ton of games by margin, although they did down the stretch of the season when they were playing their starters. So probably no bet for me on the side of the game. Lean towards Houston to cover. You're doing a money line parlay. I would take the Chiefs to win the game for sure. Couple props, though, Sal, that I really like in this game. On the Kansas City side, so I think it stands to reason on-field handicap, right? We watched Texans-Chargers last week. The Texans' pass rush is ferocious. Like, it's actually really, really, really good with Danielle Hunter and the second-year player Will Anderson, last year's Defensive Rookie of the Year. And the Chiefs have had issues this year keeping Patrick Mahomes upright, specifically at the offensive tackle position. So, you know, I'm sure Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes know. If I know it, I'm sure they know it, right? So I think the game plan is likely to be on passing downs, Mahomes gets the ball out of his hands really quickly. And who do I think that benefits? Certainly Travis Kelce. 52.5 receiving yards is his prop. I like the over there. And I also like DeAndre Hopkins, right, who was brought over from Tennessee at the trade deadline back on October 23rd, going against one of his former teams. I think he's going to play basically all the snaps in this game. Hopkins and Kelsey. Kelsey would be my preferred option for some props coming up for tomorrow's game.
Nick, let me ask you this, because I probably agree. That's a lot of wood to lay at eight points here, minus eight or so. For a team that has had five games where I believe it's five, maybe four, but certainly at least that, where they've had only, you know, 18, 19 points, so they haven't really been blowing people out. So I wouldn't feel good about that. Oh, if you had to gravitate to the over or the under, factoring in the weather, it's an outdoor game. It's going to be a little chilly. I don't know if it's going to be wet. But do you like the over or the under? It's right around 41, 41 change. Anything jump out on that side?
Yeah, I think 41, 44, and 47 are a key numbers in the 40s when we're talking about betting totals. So this one's hovering over 41 right now. It's 41.5, juice towards going up to 42. So, I mean, at 41, I guess maybe I'd consider playing the over. I think we're in no man's land right now here. If I had to guess the final score of the game, I would say Chiefs 24. I guess I'd go under 24-14, 24-17, something like that. Mm-hmm. So maybe a lean for me towards the under. Don't feel that confident about it. I'll just stick with my Chiefs positions, Chiefs to win, Chiefs and teaser legs, and some of those props that I mentioned.
How about the Saturday night game, Lions and Washington here? Of the two, who do you think is the more live dog, Texans or Washington? And just get into the game specifically with Detroit and Washington.
It has to be Washington, just because I think, you know, I've said this all week, and I think some people think this is nuts. I think it's not. I think it's way right. I think Jaden Daniels is already the best quarterback in the NFC. I think he's already number one. I think he's better than Goff. I think he's better than Stafford. And I think he's better than Jalen Hurts. And any other quarterback in the conference, I would take Jaden Daniels already over all of them. Hmm. Now, here's how the Commanders win the game. You have both coaches, your old guy, Sal, Dan Quinn, and obviously Dan Kay, the two Dans, who both love going for it. Now, and Quinn's undergone a metamorphosis here, where he was so conservative with the Falcons, and now he goes for it constantly on fourth down. We saw it in the wild card game last Sunday night against Tampa, right? So let's say, you know, the Commanders go for four fourth downs, they get all of them. Three of the four, whatever. The Lions, you know what Dan Campbell's going to do. He's going to go for it on a bunch of these plays. What if the Washington gets all of theirs and the Lions miss a bunch of theirs? Then you get a game state where Washington maybe steals this one outright and wins the game. I would say that's like, you need like a card to come out for a royal flush, and every other card in the deck you lose. I think it's unlikely that the Commanders can win the game, but I give them a better chance than I give Houston on the road at the Chiefs. Now, as far as betting the game, I think what terrifies you, if you like the Lions, Detroit, guys, has the highest team total of the season in any game that any team has played this season. Detroit's team total is 33.5. So the betting market's saying Detroit's scoring like at least 33 points in this game.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit's going to score, right? So if you bet the Lions, let's say they're up, you know, I don't know, like 34-20 with 2 minutes to play, and Washington has the ball, and here's Jaden Daniels driving down the field to backdoor, and you lose the bet. And the Lions win, but you lose your bet. That's what makes me nervous about laying Detroit. I'm nervous about laying Washington because the Lions could score 50 in the game. I have stronger thoughts on both of Sunday's games. Hmm. My advice here would be, and we could talk about some props, Terry McLaurin over is the best prop bet of the weekend. Terry, like Washington's number one receiver against this Lions secondary. If Detroit comes back down into teaser range, 8.5, down to 2.5, paired with the Chiefs, I think that's a winning two-team teaser like coming up on Saturday.
Let me ask you this, because, I mean, that's a pretty strong statement. I don't really necessarily disagree, because the NFC, the stable of quarterbacks there, it's weaker than the AFC. But just say, and for those who missed it, Nick just said he thinks that Jaden Daniels is already the best quarterback in the NFC. Just throw him in the AFC, if he was, right? Where does he stack up with those guys, out of curiosity?
Okay, so we can literally, so he's not as good as Allen.
Burrow.
So, Burrow. Lamar.
Yep.
I think he's better than Stroud.
Okay.
And Herbert. Mahomes is better. And, you know, I would say I would take Daniels right now over Herbert, because Daniels can do more with his legs.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I take him over Tua easily.
Yes, yes.
Easily.
I agree.
And, Stroud, Trevor Lawrence for sure.
That's pretty good.
Bo Nix. Yeah, okay. And I would take him over Herbert. Listen, I think Daniels is great. Maybe people hear this and they're like, well, you're nuts. Maybe. I think he's and it doesn't mean that the Lions can't win by 30 on Saturday night, tomorrow night.
Yeah.
It won't change my opinion on Daniels moving forward.
I guess the only one that I would have a question with in the NFC would be your guy, Jordan Love. I know you love Love and the Packers. You would say definitively right now you think Daniels is better than Jordan Love?
Well, I'd say, you know, I am a Love defender. I defended him on Monday on my show. But, you know, like, to be fair, because like, they lost a lot of receivers, right? Like, Watson was out for the season. Reed leaves the game. Dobbs leaves the game on Sunday in Philadelphia. And I'm making the case, you know, and he was hurt a couple times this season. Like, that's all true. Jaden Daniels was also hurt this season. He has no one outside of Terry McLaurin to throw the football to. It's Olamide Zaccheaus, Deami Brown, Noah Brown. How many more bad Browns can you get? And like 58-year-old Zach.
Wrestling.
Bad news Browns. Yeah, exactly. With the ghetto blaster, right? And Zach Ertz. Yeah, I mean, I'm all over it.
Good job.
And 58-year-old Zach Ertz. And Daniels is still playing awesome.
Yeah.
So, like, I like Jordan Love. I love Jaden Daniels.
Okay. Hey, Nick, so... This is so interesting to me. I don't know how you can answer this. Lions-Bills, all right?
Win by 30.
Well, no, forget about that. More pressure. They're both at home. They both had massive regular seasons. Both never won the Super Bowl. Which team has more pressure this weekend?
Buffalo.
Why?
Well, because this is like year like 85 of Josh Allen and Sean McDermott, and they haven't gotten over the hump yet. Where I think, and like both teams obviously have pressure here. But look, I'll give you, you said you don't know how I'll answer this question. I'll throw you a curveball here, and we'll do a little historical stuff. So yes, like the Lions have never been in this position before, home field throughout the NFC. It's never happened in the history of the franchise. Buffalo, even though neither team has won the Super Bowl, you cannot make a case that Detroit is a more tortured franchise than the Buffalo Bills, right? So my first year watching football is not obsessively is 1990. January 27th, 1991. Giants 20, Bills 19. Three Super Bowl losses consecutively followed that. They haven't been back to the Super Bowl since then. Had maybe the most devastating divisional round playoff loss ever a couple years ago in the 13 seconds game against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, where that idiot Sean McDermott blew the game like he blows every big game, like he'll blow on Sunday to the Baltimore Ravens. So yes, like it would be devastating for both teams to lose. I think the Bills will be feeling the pressure a lot more than the Lions will.
You are something, man. I love it. All right, so let's get into that game, then we'll go backwards. So start with the Sunday late game with the Bills and Ravens. You just kind of gave us some insight there, but give us more thoughts on that particular matchup.
I love the Ravens. I love Baltimore. It scares me how much I love the Ravens.
To win or to cover?
Both.
And they're what is it, minus 1.5?
Minus one and a half. This opens... Like a Bills minus 1.5. I was like, okay. All right. Not that they're, again, it's a high total. It's not like it's the worst opener of all time. But yeah, like, yeah, really? The Ravens are going to be dogs to the Bills? No way. So we bet that. Teased Baltimore. Imagine this. I have teasers with Kansas City minus 2.5 and Baltimore plus 7.5. The bet can lose. I'm not saying it's going to win, but you feel pretty good about that bet when you click the button. I'm not sure this game's going to be that close. People are saying, well, you know, quarterback with the ball in his hands last is going to win. I don't agree. I think this could be, and I don't want to say it's going to be like Ravens like it was in week 4 where Baltimore just won by 25 on Sunday Night Football. I don't know if it's going to be that, but I think the Ravens will win this game by 7 to 10 points. I think they will run all over Buffalo. I give Baltimore a huge, in the same way you would give Kansas City a huge coaching edge, over Buffalo.
Yeah.
I give the Ravens the big coaching edge here, and I think we are staring down the barrel of what will be one of the most anticipated championship games in recent memory next week, where we get the rematch of what we saw last year in Baltimore, this time at Arrowhead, with the Chiefs and the Ravens, and the point spread of that game is going to be a pick'em,
and it's going to be awesome. So if the Bills lose, McDermott out?
I think they should have fired him last year, so you're talking to the wrong guy. I mean... I feel like they'll probably keep him and say, well, Allen, like almost, I don't think Allen's going to win MVP, but they go, well, Allen, like almost won MVP. We traded Diggs, won the division, like lost to, you know, a potentially historically great team maybe in the Ravens, so we'll bring him back.
Yeah.
I'll put 10 toes down, on, as the kids would say, 10 toes down on this one. I don't think like Josh Allen can and will win a Super Bowl. It will not come with this bozo as the head coach. Dude, in the playoffs last year against the Chiefs, they ran a fake punt to DeMar Hamlin. Like, really? This guy is not, it's not a serious, talking about 9/11 hijackers, like in training, this is not a serious human being.
All right. Oh, man, I love it. We're talking with Nick Costos here. Last one, hit us with the Eagles and the Rams Sunday early afternoon.
Yeah, so, I say sometimes, you know, I do some stupid stuff sometimes. Like the other day, at the end of my show, on NBC Sports Now, on Peacock, We're giving our bets, right? And I said, Georgia's playing Tennessee in College Hoops. Tennessee's favored by 12.5. I say on the air, say, guys, this is probably a stupid bet, but I'm going to take the 12.5 with Georgia. Both defensive teams, so I think Georgia keep it close anyway. Yada, yada, yada. Tennessee wins by 18. That was a stupid bet. I knew that going in. I want to offer kind of the same preamble here for the bets that I'm going to make in this game. I'm going to make the bets. I think really smart people disagree with me here, but I'm going to ride with my opinion. And for anyone out there listening, I lose, I win, but I also lose. If you disagree, do whatever the hell you want. It's your money. I'm going to bet the Rams to cover. I'm going to wait to see if I can get a better number. It's 6 right now. My sense is this will go up a little bit. I don't think it will go to 7. But 6.5, I will take the points with the Rams. And I'll bet the over in the game also. It's 43.5 right now. That's a buy point for me on the over in this game where I'm like the last remaining Jalen Hurts defender where I think he's a big-time quarterback. You don't stand toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl and, like, stink. And people think he stinks, and I don't think he stinks. And on the flip side, you know, Matthew Stafford and the Rams offense guys struggled a lot down the course of the regular season. And then Sean McVay sat Stafford and Nacua and Kupp and Kyren Williams in the regular season finale. And like we watched Monday night against Sam Darnold and the Vikings, Matthew Stafford came out and was throwing darts on the opening drive. And I think that week off did him a ton of good.
How about the snow in that game?
So great. I'm happy that you asked. So we may have snow in both games on Sunday. In Buffalo and in Philly. And local, we're going to have snow here probably, right? In New York on Sunday. The thing that destroys offenses is not snow or rain, unless we're talking like biblical proportions, like 94, blizzard of 94, blizzard of 96 in New York. I don't think we're getting that here. It's wind. And right now, and all of this stuff is publicly available. And now, as I say sometimes, the only people that are wrong more often than people like me who give out bets and get to keep their jobs are weathermen. Mm-hmm. So we got a lot of days for the weather forecast to change. But it looks like right now we're looking at like 11 mile per hour winds. 25 is usually the threshold where you say, okay, teams are going to have difficulty throwing the ball. So I'm going to paint a picture for everybody. A winter wonderland. You turn on your TV at 2:30 on NBC and Peacock where you can watch You Better You Bet. Cheap plug. And you see snow on the field, but the wind's not bad. Think about this. Offensive players know where they're going before the play is called. Defensive players don't. If the field is slippery, that is big time advantage for the offense. So I actually think snow, but no wind, like helps the over, not the under. And I hope that we get those conditions coming up on Sunday in Philly.
All right. Thank you, Nick. We appreciate it as always. Good luck this weekend.
Pete Alonso going to sign with the Yankees or what?
Stop. Yeah. We don't want him.
Oh, we don't? No. I kind of want him.
What?
To play third? I mean, he would be better than DJ over there, I think.
I'll tell you what, Sal, you guys are hit that big homer against Milwaukee. I'm just saying, you guys are messing with chemistry a little bit here. Just wanted to say that for the Mets.
Vladdy, take the odds on that, Nick. That's my advice to you.
You could throw all your money in the world out there, but money can't buy chemistry, Sal Licata.
Yeah, all right. Go ahead, hit us with it.
Yeah, wishing everyone Mineral Sweats winning bets the absolute very best of luck.
That was the host of You Better, You Bet, and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. I would pay to see Sean McDermott and Nick in the same room at the same time. I mean, he is funny, BT, but that is, you know, bozo, that idiot.
And McDermott would smack him. That's what would happen. I mean, that's what I think would happen.
I love that. Like the Jim Rome and Chris Everett.
Yeah. Back in the
day. Jim Everett. I'm sorry.
Not Chris.
He kept calling him Chris.
He kept calling him Chrissy. Chrissy. I think a lot of people think that was staged. People still think that was staged.
We still talk about it to this day.
Launched his career.
Seemed real back then.
It did. Call me that again. I'm going to slap you.
Sean McDermott, 6'4". Chrissy. He doesn't look that big on the sideline.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Is Nick big? I've never seen Nick.
Not 6'4 big. No,
yeah, McDermott. My money's on McDermott. Yeah. How you like those odds, Nick?
Oh, I just think it's hilarious.
Minimal sweats? No, you're going to be sweating a lot if he's staring in your face.
The Fan. All right, we'll get to our divisional round picks coming up in just a little bit. And you know, there's a special thing on the line for me. Evan responded to the challenge. He wanted to go head to head. champion versus champion, a la Hogan versus Warrior, WrestleMania 6. I got to represent and take him down.
Let's go.
You don't want me coming in here wearing Evan Roberts' face on my shirt. I mean,
I don't mind if you wear it. I just don't want to have to look at it.
Did he respond to your tweet? I saw you tweet him before.
Yes, he did respond. That he said he's got something up his sleeve to maybe rectify that. That was about, what the exact tweet was, so people know what we're talking about. So Evan tweeted a little while ago, and then, of course, I subtweeted. Let me just get my page up. All right, so he said, who do you blame more for the seemingly inevitable Mets-Alonso divorce? It's a poll. It's Stearns Cohen, Alonzo Boris, the other option, and I subtweeted and I said, your beard. Because we all know what happened with his beard. And
he was growing out until Alonzo signed.
And then he wrote back that he's got he's got something up his sleeves to maybe change it. So I don't know what it, maybe he grows the beard back until Pete officially signs somewhere else. I don't know.
I just hope it has nothing to do with like hair or facial hair.
That's it.
He's still got the buzzer sitting in there with the bucket.
The stupid bucket.
We got to clean this studio up a little bit. But
studio's gross.
All right, so we'll see. Evan's really heartbroken by this.
Get that. Like, same with DeGrom.
Yeah, okay. And he was wrong about DeGrom.
He's a real fan, though. Yeah. He's a fan.
Yeah, but the Mets have been better without it. Like, you got to acknowledge.
But we don't know if they'll be better this year.
I'm a fan, too. I just believe in what they're doing.
But he's a different fan. He's a different fan.
What, an incorrect fan?
No.
Fan?
Oh, jeez. Meaning that he taps in and he leans more into the sentimental emotion of it. Admittedly, you know that. He cares about that stuff more than you do.
A less wiser fan? Hey, Evan and I have had arguments about this stuff for years. I told you. He wanted... Now, again, I love David Wright. Personally, I think he's a great guy. I can't wait to see his number get retired, all those different things. In retrospect, it's cool to be able to have that moment. However, back in 2000, I don't know, 3 or 4, whatever. No, had to be after that because Wright came up. Let's say 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
Evan and I were arguing that. I was like, dude, if you could trade David Wright right now for Miguel Cabrera, you wouldn't do it? He's like, no, I wouldn't do it. Like, are you out of your mind? Like, that's what I'm talking about. Like,
how many years in was Miggy? I know he was he was in the 03 World Series as a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
So, early 20s. Gotcha.
Let's say it's 2007 or 2008.
Okay. So, he's an official Hall of Fame trajectory at this point.
Well, it had to be because Wright was at his peak. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having the conversation. So, it was around there. I would probably say it was 06, 07, something like that.
Okay.
Even though I love David Wright, I wanted the better player. I don't care where he comes from.
Well,
homegrown or what? Give me Miggy. He's the better player.
I understand that, but I could obviously, and more so, honestly see Evan's side more than you think that I would. Because there's no doubt who's the better hitter. There's also no doubt who's the better all-around, more complete baseball player. That's David Wright by a mile.
At the time.
David Wright stole 20 bases. David Wright was a Gold Glove third baseman. David Wright's back was healthy. So, of course, in hindsight, this looks like a ridiculous conversation.
No, in real time.
Well, it depends on your perspective. Dude, perspective, I'll take the better all-around player.
Come on. David Wright's not better than Miguel Cabrera on any planet.
Not a better hitter. Better all-around player.
Yeah, but Miguel Cabrera was so much better of a hitter.
You get Miggy. Get up, Miggy's. I'll get David. You get Miggy. I'll get David Wright.
I don't remember the exact year of the argument.
Find the rough year, because that's obviously important here. That would change my answer.
I would say from 2006, 2007, 2000, anywhere in that window.
2006, 7, 8. Now, remember, his best season was, would have been, I think it was 07. Let me just double check.
So let's go 06, 07.
All right, we'll go 07. I'm
going to
go 07 with David Wright. David Wright's 24 years of age.
Yeah, what do you do?
His OPS was 970. Mm-hmm. 30 home runs, 107 ribbies, 35 steals.
Yeah, and what he hit was batting average.
325.
Yeah, Miguel Cabrera, 34 homers, 119 RBI, 320 batting average.
Oh, so David Wright's batting average was higher.
Yeah, this is one season. I understand. But that's David Wright's best. This is just a season.
Well,
but wait, there's more.
Go ahead.
37, 127, 292 the following year. 34, 103, 324. 38, 126. 328 with an OPS over 1,000. Like, it's not even close. And
how many Gold Gloves does he have? Miggy. Zero.
I mean, I would say none, but
I would say none, right?
I mean, dude.
None? Did I miss any? Probably
how many
none. Third
MVPs
base,
did
first
David
base.
Have?
What was that?
How many MVPs did David Wright have?
But we're focusing on different criteria.
Yeah.
There's no doubt Miguel Cabrera is the better hitter. He's one of the best righties of all time.
He's going to Hall of Fame.
And David Wright would have been there if he didn't hurt his back.
Well, he did. I mean, it is what
it is.
Yeah,
but when this came up with Evan, his back was healthy.
Yeah, well, also, it proved to be right. But if I was saying this at the time, there's a reason for it. Miguel Cabrera, two-time MVP. MVP, triple freaking crown.
What year was that triple crown again? Was that with the Tigers or the Marlins? I think it was Detroit.
It was after he performed in the World Series, which I'm sure had a big part of my feelings behind
that. Yeah, I got you.
A four-time batting champion. Like, come on. It's not even close. What year did he win the MVP? Where do we see
it? I don't know. I still put emphasis. And before the MVP, I mean, David Wright had a year he finished fourth. He finished sixth. He finished seventh. He finished ninth. I mean, David Wright had four or five top ten MVPs. Making it seem like David Wright was a 271 hitter with 18 home runs and an OPS of 809.
But what I'm saying is Miguel Cabrera unequivocally is the better player.
No, he's not.
Yeah, I mean,
he's the better hitter.
I don't know how who would you rather have on your team?
If I'm starting a team.
Yeah.
If I'm starting a team.
Yes, yeah. In any era. Pick an era.
I got you. Pick the manager, the ballpark. I'm going to probably go with David Wright. He's a better all-around player.
Over Miguel Cabrera?
Let me ask you that. We're not talking hitting. Let me ask you this.
No, we're talking playing. We're talking production.
But there's three components to playing. Yeah. Can you hit? Can you run? Can you field? So who is the better fielder? Just answer.
I mean, David Wright. Sure,
okay.
I'll give you it.
Who was the better base runner? Just answer.
I mean, Miguel Cabrera was jogging around the bases the majority of the time.
No, he wasn't. He wasn't in 50 home runs. Who was the better base runner?
And also Miguel Cabrera.
Can you just answer, please? Because I'll answer who was the better hitter quickly. Who was the better base runner?
I mean, I guess David Wright.
There's no guess. Yeah. He stole 30 bases multiple times. Now, who was the better hitter? I'll do it quick. Miguel Cabrera. I don't know. I'll take the guy who was better at his job 66% of the time than Miguel Cabrera.
I mean.
We disagree.
I'm actually.
Were you stunned?
I'm dumbfounded.
Why? You shouldn't be. I laid it out very clearly. You hit, you run, you field. David Wright was a better fielder and a better runner. And by the way, the hitting gap was not so pronounced where it overshadows the things that David Wright was better at.
It absolutely was. It's not even close.
Yes, because David Wright hurt his back and his career numbers were impacted.
No. That's career numbers. How many batting titles did David Wright win?
None.
Okay, what was David Wright's career batting average?
Well, I'd have to look at it, but that's because his back went out because of spinal stenosis, and he couldn't play.
Also, Miggy's is way down because he played way too long. But
what was Miggy's?
306.
All right, and what? Well, David Wright's in the same neighborhood.
Yeah, but Miguel Cabrera hit for his last five, six.
Wait a second,
250.
I got my computer. Hold on. Okay, so David Wright's career average is.
We honestly can't have this conversation.
We shouldn't because it's a stupid one.
Correct.
Better all around player.
It's not even close.
Can you answer this one question,
Miguel Cabrera?
You're answering your question.
By any measurement you want to throw out there,
yeah,
glove included, base running included. I'll take Miguel Cabrera a billion times over David Wright. A billion times.
I'm not saying this is the mic drop, but I am curious. I don't know the answer. What was Miguel Cabrera's highest war? Just engage. I know you hate the war
stuff. Yeah,
I'm just curious. What was it? Because that's all encompassing.
Where do you even see that?
7. It's to the 6. Left of the games.
7.6 in 2011.
7.6? David Wright was 8.3.
Okay.
I mean, again, the conversation, better hitter. Miguel Cabrera is one of the best right-handed hitters in the history of baseball, spanning multiple centuries.
Right.
Better all-around player? It's David Wright. That's it.
So you would have been with Evan and said that you'd rather have David Wright than Miguel Cabrera?
At the point when the question was posed, Sal.
Yeah, let's say 2006.
Yes, my answer would have been. Well, you could say that now.
But
you said it then, too. I get you. But you also have the benefit of David Wright's body betraying him. Nobody knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, but even if David Wright's body didn't betray him, he still wouldn't sniff Miguel Cabrera off.
As a hitter.
Yeah.
Not as a better all-around player.
Oh, well, then David Wright should be in the Hall of Fame.
I love how you switch gears. You are good at that. You just go like boom, boom, boom. You jump around well. I'm going to give you that. You do. You jump around well, buddy. It's like the whack-a-mole. You think you got him beat in one debate, and then he pops up.
One guy wants
Hall of Fame.
Okay.
I give you credit for that.
Who do you think was the MVP last year in the National League?
The MVP. It's Ohtani, dude.
Okay.
I know he won it, and he should have been.
Who's a better player?
Then Ohtani or who? I'm sorry.
Lindor.
Who's the better player?
Yeah.
Who ran Ohtani.
Who ran the bases better?
Ohtani.
Who defended better?
Ohtani had 50 steals.
Does he play defense?
He had 50 steals.
The same argument that you're using against Miguel Cabrera, yeah, I will then use against Ohtani.
But you so can't, though, because David Wright was an elite third base, but Ohtani doesn't play the field, so I wouldn't have the same feeling. I wouldn't have the same feeling for Ohtani that I would have had and did have for David Wright back in the mid-2000s.
But all the things you value as an all-around ball player, Lindor does better than Ohtani. Ohtani's the better hitter with power, sure. And okay, he can steal bases,
well,
sure.
Then I'll give you this. I'm going to amend my answer slightly. I'm an open-minded gentleman. I will say that Lindor impacts winning night to night more than Ohtani.
Because he plays
I'll give
defense,
you that.
Right? Which is why I thought
because he's in the middle of the diamond. Okay. He's a really, really good shortstop.
Right. At least there's
so what do you got to say to that?
So at least there's consistency. You value so Lindor should have won the MVP last year.
No, Iglesias should have.